The scripture of this evening is the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. I'll read it for you. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind, and it's not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I become a man, I did away with childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love, abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and members of more than 5,300 branch churches in the United States of America, United Kingdom, Canada, Peru, Honduras, Bolivia, El Salvador, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, the Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, Israel, Kenya, Uganda, Congo, Burundi, Rwanda, Tanzania, Nigeria, Swaziland, South Africa, Botswana, Cote d'Ivoire, and other countries. And branch churches and local sanctuaries in Korea. And the members who are attending this service through satellite and internet and all the TV viewers. Belarus, there is a branch church. This is the only country. I'm not sure if it's a communist country or not. But the president of this country allows only me to conduct a crusade. When our Father God allows me to go there, then I will go. But this country prohibits the Christian event from being held. But we have a branch church here. There is another country in Latin America, and that's the country that's not allowed any Christian event being held. But the president of that country also allows only me to conduct a crusade. From today, I will begin the lecture series on the spiritual love chapter. Parents are delighted when their children listen to them very well. For example, if the parents tell their children to study, they study well. When parents tell them not to fight with their friends, they don't do it. When parents tell them to have good attitudes and use appropriate language, they just obey. How delighted will the parents be if they have children who behave like this? But suppose the children obey their parents, but they don't have any love in their heart for their parents. Then, how would the parents feel about it? How could a child obey the parents if they have no love for them? They may ask like this, but they might obey as part of their character. They might obey out of a sense of duty, or they may obey out of fear of being reprimanded by their parents. This kind of obedience without love cannot please their parents. And we cannot say that this is complete obedience either. When parents take care of their children too much, then it is spoiling their child. Sometimes, you know, sometimes there is some children who don't obey if parents don't give them some kind of money. It is the same with the relationship between God and Father and you. What is the purpose of God's cultivating human beings here in this earth? It is to gain true children with whom He can share true love. Therefore, the ultimate goal of our Christian life is to cultivate true love in our heart. And for us to share true love with God, we should well understand what kind of love is really the kind of love that Father God wants. If Father God is love, we should know what kind of love our Father God has. Then we can have that kind of love, and then it will please our Father God. If we do the love that our Father God does not want, and we say that we love Father God, then our Father God will love, acknowledge that love. This chapter on love is the chapter that clearly tells us about this love. So a long time ago, I delivered the message about this spiritual love. About like 10 or 15 years later, I'm delivering the message again. Because there are many GCN TV viewers who want to listen to this spiritual love. And if GCN or Manmin TV uses the old tape, then it will be different. So that's why I'm delivering this message again. If you want to save many souls as an instrument of the Holy Spirit in the end time, you must imprint this kind of love in your heart and cultivate it. In order for you to become an instrument of the Holy Spirit and save many souls, you first have to accomplish a clean heart without any evil. Meanwhile, you should also have an ardent love for the souls. The chapter on love is also a standard with which you can check how sanctified your heart is and how much love you have for other souls. Therefore, if you engrave this in your heart and practice it completely, we can say that you have true love in your heart. The fruit of the Holy Spirit will also be born as much as you accomplish this spiritual love. I've already given this sermon series on the spiritual love chapter twice, once in 1985 and again in 1996. But the reason why I'm delivering this message once again is because of the request from many GCN TV viewers around the world. As the messages of our church are spread to many countries, through GCN, more and more people are longing and eager to listen to spiritual messages about the Bible. So now is the time when lawlessness prevails and love is cooling down. There are so many broken hearts and there are so many people around the world who long for true love. This message series on spiritual love will be produced for GCN Broadcasting. The series will be broadcast throughout the world, and through this word, the souls of those people whose hearts are broken will be healed. Also, this time, this lecture on spiritual love will be explained in greater depth. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you may long for this message more eagerly and receive it only with yes and amen, so that through this message you will become instruments of the Holy Spirit who have passionate love and the power of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, before we get into each verse of the chapter on spiritual love, let's look into general contents of this chapter and the background of writing this book. The reason why we call the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for the scripture the love chapter is because the theme of the entire chapter is love. There is the chapter of blessing, the chapter of marriage, the chapter about idol worshipping, the chapter on love, the Beatitudes, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There are many chapters like that in the Bible. So, the First Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter, okay? Now, what do you think love is? People define love according to their thoughts and ideas. They also think that they live with love. What's heartbreaking is that if they love, they should be happy. But instead, there are many situations where they are hurt and suffer pain in their hearts. This is either because they do not understand what the true love is, or because they try to love only within their limits. In this chapter on spiritual love, we can see the kind of love that God considers true. Not we, men, consider real love. It also tells us in detail about why we have to love and what love is. Therefore, I hope that you will understand what true love is through these messages and practice what you hear immediately, so that you will be able to confess that you truly love the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, first, let's talk about the background of writing this chapter 13 of the first book of Corinthians. Then, we can understand better why love is important. In the previous chapter, the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about various gifts of the Holy Spirit and titles. In the Corinthian church, there were many of the various gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there were some arguments among the believers about which gift is greatest. There are many different kinds of greatest. The power, healing, divine healing, many different kinds of gifts. Now, which one is the greatest? The 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." I said, various gifts of the Holy Spirit are given by God for the benefit of the faith of believers. But sometimes, we can see some problems rise because of these gifts. For example, there are some people who say that they have received the gift of healing or gift of prophecy and break the order of the church. There are many, almost every member of this church have the gift of healing. So we do not pray for that gift, okay? We pray for the power, not for the gift of healing. Because every one of you has it. Just as people who do sorcery in the world, they lift themselves up and ask for money and seek their own benefit in exchange for the service of their gift. You should not exchange the gift that Father God is giving you with money. There are not many people who receive the true prophecy, the gift of prophecy around the world. There are many people around the world who is giving prophecy by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but not by gift. I haven't seen anyone yet. The Apostle Paul, in an attempt to put down this kind of argument in the Corinthian church, said that gifts are many, but the Holy Spirit is the same. And though gifts are various, all gifts are given by God, and each of them is precious and at the level of equality. After explaining this, he said in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, "But earnestly desire the greater gifts than the various gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I show you a still more excellent way." And then he wrote the chapter on love. Through this chapter on spiritual love, he intended to say that the greatest gift of all gifts is the gift of love. The reason that I said that the gift of prophecy is not here, because I haven't seen anyone yet.
Yeah.
Sometimes some people can prophesy by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why is the reason? The deacon Philip and his daughters could prophesy, but you should know how much sanctified they were. And they received the power too. That's why he is among the 24 elders in heaven, as well as Deacon Stephen. So they could have the gift of prophecy. So unless you are sanctified, you cannot receive the gift of prophecy. You have to come into the Holy Spirit. Even if you come to the Spirit, it's not always true that you will receive the gift of prophecy. But the gift of prophecy is given to only to those who come to the Spirit. In other words, he wanted them to realize that the purpose of God's giving various gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church is ultimately to let the believers accomplish the most excellent gift, which is love. Even though believers are given great gifts or titles, if they don't have love, and if there are disagreements and dissensions over them, it would have been better for them not to have received that gift in the first place. Believers lead Christian lives, and the church accomplishes the kingdom and the righteousness of God. The ultimate purpose of this is to have love. Dear brothers and sisters, but there is not just the true love. There is also false love that seems to be good in outward appearances, but it's not true love. For example, there are many goods that are labeled as being luxurious items, and they look the same as those authentic luxury goods. But in fact, there are only limitations, like, watch or cosmetics. There are many imitations, right? Many people buy these imitations thinking they are authentic goods. Luxury goods usually retain the original shape and form even after a long time, and the quality is still good too. But imitations are more easily broken or they wear out more quickly. Likewise, even concerning love, there is spiritual love that is like the authentic luxury goods, or while there is fleshly love that is like the imitations. Just, when we look at a watch, there is a watch that which gains or loses a couple of minutes every day or every month. But the true luxurious goods, they don't get or lose in the minutes in a year. There is one kind of love that never changes. It is the one with which a person sacrifices everything for the other person. There is also the other kind of love that changes after some time and it breaks down even over trivial matters. From now, when I tell you about what most people generally call love, I want you to distinguish between whether the love expressed is the true love or if it's just an imitation. I hope that you will all have spiritual love that is true. It is like the authentic luxury goods. All the male members, say amen, okay? First, let us consider love between neighbors or friends. We Korean people say a word meaning neighbor cousins. It means that our neighbors are as close as our brothers. It means that we share a good relationship and friendship with our neighbors. But this word is becoming more and more untrue. Nowadays, people keep their doors closed now even toward their neighbors. They not only build high walls around their houses that can be seen, but they also build walls in their heart that are not visible. They do not care about others. They don't even know who lives next door, and they don't have any intention to find out who they are. They consider only themselves and their family members important. Also, if they feel their neighbor is causing them any kind of damage or harm, they don't hesitate to criticize or fight with them. Nowadays, there are many people among neighbors who sue one another because of small things. If you go to some countries, they say that I strongly oppose to something for their own benefit. Absolutely no. No, but sometimes they change their mind. What about the love between friends? Many people have had experience in which one person thought that a particular friend would always be on their side, but a betrayal by that friend left them with a heart that was shattered. Let's say some of the friends got in a financial situation and asked their friends, please, just lend me some money, or please co-sign me so that, you know, I can lend the money, I can rent the money from a bank. And the friends do not, you know, co-sign because they know that it's not going to work out. Then the other friends say that, are you my friend? I thought you were going to, you know, co-sign for me. I loved you so much. But you don't even co-sign me for this. You are not my friend anymore. The friend who asked the other friend to co-sign is the one who is not true friend. If he is a really true friend, then he cannot ask his friend to co-sign. It's going to destroy not just friend, but his family as well. But still blaming the other friend that he is not a true friend. This is wrong. This is nonsense. This is not true love. There are so many friends like this, even between brothers and sisters. And our Father does not call it love. So between brothers and sisters in Christ, you should not have these kind of things happen. So you should not have any kind of, you know, financial relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ. There must be some among you who had a very close friend, and that friend began to avoid you from the time you became a Christian, because you tried to live a life in the light. Since they were not able to enjoy your company in wrongly, in worldly things anymore, you know, they may have distanced themselves from you, or may even have brought persecution against you. There are friends like that. They say, you know, you betrayed him because you simply don't, you know, drink with him. Some people think it is wise to make friends based on what they can gain from them. It is a fact that today it's very difficult to find a person who willingly gives up his time, effort, and money with genuine love for his neighbors or friends. Now, what about the love between brothers? Unlike neighbors and friends, they were born of the same parents. So, is their love any better? Of course, brothers and sisters who are born of the same parents and who grew up together since infancy have deeper relationship than just other people. So, they help each other, and sometimes a brother may sacrifice himself for another sibling. But usually, even though they have very close relationship when they are young, once they got married and have their own families, they tend to pay more attention to their own family and they become less interested in their brothers and sisters. I was born as the last son among three sons and three daughters, and I was loved by my brothers and sisters very much. But when I was on my sickbed for 7 long years, I became a burden to them. My brothers tried to help me to some extent, but when they reached their limits, they just forsook me. They would have helped me till the end if there is any guarantee that I would get healed. but there was no guarantee, so they forsook me. Of course, in this case, we can understand that it was because they had to take care of their own families too. But in the world, in some cases where they seek their own benefit to the extreme, brothers become like enemies toward each other after fighting over things like inheritance money, positions, or other things. Sometimes brothers come to have even worse relationship with each other than their relationship with other friends. Sisters take the side of their husbands, standing against their brothers. There are many things like that. Now, what about love between a husband and wife, who became one flesh by marriage? When they date each other, they confess, "I cannot live without you. I love you forever." They make confessions of love with so many sweet words. I'm not sure about these days, but when I was in the 60s and 50s, "I cannot live without you." That was the confession. Or they say, "I will commit suicide if you don't marry me." They threat each other. "If you betray me, if you leave me, I will go down and die." I'm not sure if my wife did it. Before we got married, I was trying to... I got a room to go back to university. But, you know, my wife came to me, and I asked her not to come. But one day, she went to Han River. She said that she went to Han River. But she didn't try to commit suicide. We loved it like this. I have never changed that love, even when I was in sick bed. Now, I think my wife loves me better than I do. So they confess many sweet words. Some men say, you know, they used, you know, very nice love poem, saying that world without you is a desert without oasis. They make this kind of confession. They are using some confession that somebody else is using. They memorize it and then they use it. But what happens after they are married? Men members, please listen to me carefully, okay? And wives, listen to me. Sometimes they say, "I cannot leave because of you." Or they complain to each other saying, "I was cheated." Even they say that they love so much. After they got married, they say that they were cheated. They're talking about money, family background, and they say that they are not in accord. And they talk about divorce already. So it's really difficult to get together. After they got married, they use such an expression. Sometimes they blame the family background of each other. Sometimes they ridicule it. The husband, when he doesn't like the cooking of his wife just a little bit, may complain bitterly against his wife. If the husband doesn't make enough money, the wife begins to complain, giving trouble to her husband, saying that her friends were buying homes and buying good cars and so on. "My friend husband is promoted. When are you going to be?" They say like that. Nowadays, there are some married couples who live in the same house, but never talk to each other. By looking at the statistics about Korean violence, almost half of all the couples suffer violence in their home from their spouses. They, you know, use violence against their spouse. They live as only one spouse to each other, but they forget about their heart they had in the beginning, and they live difficult lives, hating and fighting against each other. When I was sick for 7 years, my wife hurt me so much. She hurt my heart, but I understand her. But from the point of my wife's view, I can understand her. It was the situation. I would have understood her situation if I had known the truth. But I was narrow-minded then, so I couldn't accept it. But thankfully, but love didn't depart from my heart. There are even some couples who get divorced during the honeymoon. And the average duration from the time of marriage to the divorce is getting shorter and shorter. I heard that there are couples because they don't spend first night on honeymoon because of their friends. I heard like that. Because the husbands and the friends follow them and then spend the whole night. So the bride got angry and came back. They married because they love each other. But as they discover bad things about their spouses and because they have different thoughts and tastes, what they thought was love just cools down very quickly. There was a couple in the morning that I mentioned, right? You know, the husband even cooks for his wife. And do you know what his wife said? Senior pastor, from the marriage, my husband has been cooking for me. So I said, your husband is so happy. He loves his wife so much. And from the marriage, he has been cooking for his wife and cleaning the house, do all the chores. So who is happy then? Wife or husband? The husband is happier. He does it because he loves her so much. And that's what the wife said, not the husband. So all the male members, please change and receive love from your wife. Do the chores for your wife. If I had a family like that, then I will cook for her and I'll do the chores, but I didn't have any time to do so. But while I was sick, I did my duty. I shopped. I tried my best to help her. This proves that they love. This proves that the love they had was fleshly love, seeking its own benefit. Now, what about the love which people in the world consider most noble? The love of parents. I'd like to add one more thing. The husband and wife, says about things like cooking and doing chores. And then the wife does good to her husband too. One of the elder said like this, "Senior pastor, I clean the house and I do all the chores too." He said he does too. But I didn't ask Senior Deaconess. I would like to ask her if he really does so or not. In this church, there are many good husbands who have a big heart. Some male members will persecute me because I said so. Usually, it's the heart of the parents to give to their children first rather than taking good things for themselves. But in one corner of the heart that cares for their own children with love, there is a place in the heart where people usually seek their own benefit. If they truly love their children, they should love their children without seeking any kind of benefit. Sometimes we find parents who, grow up their children for their own glory. Sometimes there are parents who complain to me that, their daughters are not marrying. Or sometimes they say that you should marry someone if their daughter does not obey, then they just persecute. So the daughter leaves the house. How unfortunate it is. For example, when parents force their children to do something, they say, "I'm saying all this only for your well-being." But in fact, in many cases, they are trying to lead their children away they want to fulfill their desire or to boast of their children. So, at the time of marriage, if the children choose something that the parents do not really want or a course in their lives that is against the desires of the parents, they may oppose and strongly object to it so much that they even say that they are disappointed in their children. They say, "I have done so much for you, but you do not realize it, and now you don't listen to me." This proves that their devotion and sacrifice were only conditional love that wants something in return. Nowadays, in Korea, in 80s and 70s, I told you that the person that I respected most was General Lee. When I was in school, I thought there was a king who was like a saint. But later, when I knew the history, there was a king who killed his wife because she scratched his face. But General Lee is still the one in the fleshly world to respect. I respect him most. His love for the king and the country was from the depth of his heart, of the true heart. It can be found from his diary. He sacrificed his life. He was persecuted greatly, even though he was winning the battle over and over again. There was no support from the government. The enemy had the hundreds of ships, but General Lee had fewer ships, like a couple of dozens. But among the 23 battles, he won all of them. When General Lee was so popular among the people, the king heard the wrong accuse. And the king was paying attention to the wrong idea and report. The king made an order to General Lee to go to Busan area to defeat the enemy. But General Lee disobeyed. The reason he was fighting against was to fight the enemy, to save the king and the country. And he knew that if he had gone to Busan area, he would have been defeated. So that's why he didn't go. If he is defeated, the whole country would have to surrender to the enemy. So General Lee had to disobey so he could protect the southern part of Korea. Because General Lee was cutting the supply route of the enemy army. And there were many resistance because of the support of General Lee. If General Lee is defeated, then the whole country would be defeated. Then the king said, "You betrayed, you disobeyed my command." And then the king put the General Lee in custody and persecuted him. General Lee couldn't even walk after the persecution. And then after the persecution, the king sent the General Lee back to the navy. But in no, without any title, even before he was recovered, the king sent the General Lee to the front line without any title. But he never blamed his king. And then the general won, was defeated, and lost almost every ship, and only about a dozen ships left. Then the king gave the title back to General Lee again. And then General Lee defeated the enemy again and again.
한국 점령하면 명나라까지 치고 들어가겠다는 건데 이순 때문에 더 이상 북진을 못하는 거예요. 그 국민들이 힘을 받고 그 여기저기서 이제 일어나죠. 힘을 받고 그런 인물을
There was such a person. And then the people tried to kill him again. Even though many, you know, subordinates report that because of General Lee, the enemy cannot come up. What did the king say? He said, I cannot give reward to this kind of general. Or admiral.
너 면책 뭐 여튼 너 죽일 건데 너 죽일 것을 살려준다 그게 상이에요.
The reward.
너 죽일 것을 이제 면한다 이게 상을 주는 거예요.
Was giving life back to the general, the Admiral Lee.
그래도
it's a nonsense. But the General Lee never complained.
난리가 나죠. 어떻게 이럴 수가 있느냐. 상은 못 주는 거.
General Lee's subordinates. Complained. But he never had complaint in his heart. When even his son was dead, he didn't go. He was such a person like that. Isn't he the person to be respected? At the last battle, when enemy was going back, surrendering. The Ming Dynasty and enemy made a peace contract not to disturb on their way back home. General Lee made the decision to fight against the enemy so that the enemy would not even dare to come back again. So General Lee wrote a letter asking the king to save his subordinate's life, taking the whole responsibility of the battle. And he died in the battle. If you know the history, you can see that this is true love. Even though he knows that he will die for the king and the country, even though he is going to take the whole responsibility, even though he had to sacrifice his own life in order to save the country, he did what he had to do. How true, what kind of true love it is. This was the spiritual love. Not seeking for his own benefit, only for the king and the country and the people. At the end, he chose to die to make the king comfortable. There is a spiritual love even in this world. Also nowadays, there are some parents who consider their own love more precious than their children. And some of them just forsake their children or just get divorced without caring for their own children. Some parents kill their own children too. As you listen to these things until now, do any of you think that you don't have to love anybody because all love among the neighbors, friends, or family members are useless or meaningless? Of course you should not. God's children who truly believe in God will love their neighbors, friends, and family members. In the Ten Commandments given by God, the first four are commandments that we have to keep in our relation with God. And the fifth commandment tells us to honor our parents. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 33 says, "Each individual among you also is to love his own wife as is himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." If wife does not respect her husband, there is no spiritual love. They have to love each other. The one-sided love is not okay. Husband should love wife, and wife should love husband. And they are spiritual love. And happy husband and wife. Also, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39 says, "The second greatest command, next to loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, is to love our neighbor as ourselves." Therefore, children of God should not neglect their duty for their family members and other family only because they are leading a life in Christ. They should give more true love than other people do. So that's why I asked the church worker, never say no to the request to other people, even to the people in my residence. When neighbors come to the residence, and they sit down on bench in my residence. They do so. They sometimes ask for the drinks. It's for free. And have a conversation. I ask them to have, allow the other members to come to. This morning, about 1,000 members came to my residence, but the neighbors didn't complain. From theological seminary to residence, all in the morning. The members of this church, do not care. Their footstep sound is so noisy. But the neighbors didn't complain. We have to do good to others first. When we constructed the residence, we didn't violate. There were neighbors who complained. But we never said that we did good. We always said we are sorry. And I treated them good. Why? Even though we didn't violate the regulation, we gave some kind of uneasiness to the neighbors because of the trucks, construction vehicles. Because of that, neighbors were, uncomfortable. So I asked other people to treat them well. They should not just satisfy the physical needs of others, but also they have to give them spiritual love to lead their souls to salvation and let them gain eternal life. Let me tell you one story about this kind of love. There was one deaconess who was diligent in her Christian life. Her husband didn't attend church, but rather he persecuted his wife for attending church. If anything bad happened, he said it was because she was attending church and gave her a hard time. But one day, she began to attend the dawn prayer meeting. She always carried a pair of her husband's shoes with her. Holding the shoes, she prayed to God, "God, today, only these shoes came before you. Next time, let the owner of these shoes come also." She prayed with tears every day. After some time, something amazing took place. Her husband began to attend church with her. When he was leaving for work every day, he felt it was strange that his shoes were always warm in the early morning during the cold of winter. One day, he saw his wife going to pray with his shoes pressed against her as she carried them. He was touched by that love and sincerity of his wife. And he stopped persecuting his wife. He then became a good believer, attending church with his wife. Dear brothers and sisters, who in this world can pray with love and tears for those who persecute and curse at him or her? Many people who come to receive prayer from me says this: "My husband or my wife persecute me. Please pray so that he does not persecute me." Do you know what I say? Then I say, please come to spirit as soon as possible. That's the way of winning. If she comes to spirit, then she will give spiritual love. Then how can the husband persecute her? Since the light shines the darkness, the darkness will go away. Then the husband will not persecute. When I explain like this, all they say, I have seen few people who say amen. Also in this world, where people live only for themselves, who can spread love to neglected neighbors with a true heart, despite the fact that they have to sacrifice themselves and suffer from despisement? It is God's children who received and learned true love from our Lord. I think many of you have experienced pain in heart because of fleshly love before you came to know the Lord. But when you were feeling the pain and the loneliness because of that meaningless love, there was one who comforted you and became your friend. Who is it? It is our Lord. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. One of the writers who is writing many scenarios for the movies, he registered to the church. He said he wants to make a movie based on my book. I think I received a couple of questions, offers like that from 1985. There is a deacon in this church who is very famous in the film world. And he said he wants to write a movie for that. He said he read my book. And he said how I could manage that kind of life. I think I have to pray what our Father God will say. Jesus had no faults, but he was despised and forsaken by men. Also, Jesus suffered from many hardships and poverty. He knows the pain of disease as well, too, being acquainted with grief. Therefore, he understands and knows the heart of man very well. Jesus forsook the heavenly glory and came to this earth. He went the way of suffering just like man, and became our true comforter and friend. He gave us true love that the world cannot give until He was crucified for us. All the husbands, please give your spiritual love to your wife that you haven't given so far. I will change. I will cook for you. Then the wife say, "Wow, you changed. Wow, you received so much grace. Thank you." You should not say so, okay? Oh, husband, no. No, I'll take care of it. You have your job. You have to feed my family. And this is my job. Let me do my job. I will do my job faithfully. You should be, you know, wise. Just take it from your husband, and it's not good. You should respect and serve each other, okay? If the husband still, you know, offers to do it, then, you know, you just let him. But don't let it happen every day, okay? And sometimes, you know, if that happens, then, you know, the husband will get, you know, good food. Before I accepted the Lord, I had been suffering from so many diseases, and I could thoroughly feel the pain and loneliness of diseases and poverty. As I was always on my sickbed, what I had was only a sick body and debt that was increasing like a rolling snow. I experienced the despisement and mockery of the world around me. I was lonely. Sometimes my mother-in-law came to me because I was living in the top of the mountain. It was not a good place to live. It was cheap rent. And I was on my sick bed. The mother-in-law came to me from time to time. And I said, you know, I know a good doctor. Please, let's go. And then she took me. She took me there. I was using my walking cane. And then it took about 10 minutes to go down. And then she caught a taxi and went to doctor. And then she hauled me to come to my home. On my way home, there was a liquor store. And then she bought me a drink. And then we drank. And then I came back home. And she went back. In my heart, I mean, and she looked at me, pitiful eyes. I'm not sure if that was her true heart, but but even though she didn't like me, she gave me a little bit of money so that I could buy some rice. It was a great, quite amount of money. She left some money and left. Then we could leave for a couple of days with that. But as I met the Lord, the only one who gave me true love, I was healed of mild diseases. I gained a new life to live. Did he heal me for his own benefit? The love that our Lord gave me was for me, for myself, for the glory of Father God, for the kingdom of our Father God. Father God, I mean, and the Lord never asked something from me just for their own benefit. For the glory of our Father God and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God likes to give. After I was healed of all my diseases completely, I had to begin from the very bottom with so much debt in my hand. I had to work from the early morning till late evening on a construction site. Five of us had to live in one room for years in a slum area. But now, I feel all those things are so precious. It was a very precious moment. I'm so thankful to grow up in a countryside. I went around to get some grass. And we cooked broth out of it. There is a Korean flower, right? The rose of Sharon. And it had so many worms on the stem.
And
And then we cooked out of that flower and stems. Because there was a time like that, even though I am eating just the three kinds of meal, I am so thankful. I am so thankful. I lived like that. Now, I have very good quality, you know, spicy, red hot paste, and a very good soy sauce, and the rice. It's so good. I'm so thankful to live like that. So I've never said, I don't like this. I always eat it with gratitude. And if I can do charity work and for missionary work by saving like this, and if it can make our Father God's heart moved, and then our Father God can bless this church, these are all the reasons for Thanksgiving. So I always think about charity and saving some other souls. I asked Pastor Soo-jin Lee how they can save, how they can do charity work. And they said that this amount or that amount was giving out. So I asked her if it's okay. And she said that it's okay. But like a half million won. It's really feel good that I can give out. I can give. There are many families who are suffering. If I can help them, I'm so thankful. So everything, I am thankful for everything. I think this way, I think that way. Because I had those times, I could feel the love of the Lord more deeply. And I could become a pastor and servant of God who can comfort and embrace the heart of many souls. I think our Father God is giving me, I'm giving so much blessing. I prayed one of the members that I prayed that let him give a billion won as tithe. And their son came to me to receive prayer for their marriage. And then he said, he is giving 10 million won as a tithe. By the time when I prayed for him, he was giving 1 million won or 1 or 2 million won as tithe. If you show proper faith in the sight of Father God, our Father God is ready to give you blessing. If you truly love our Father God and live by the will of Father God and the love live by the word of Father God, then you will receive blessing. Here is the conclusion. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God is love itself. And He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to this earth for us sinners. He has prepared many dwelling places in the heavenly kingdom with all kinds of beautiful things, and He is waiting for us in the infinite patience of His love. If you just open your heart a little bit, you can feel this delicate and abundant love of God. Why don't you just think about the beauty of nature? The clear sky and sea, and all the mountains and trees and plains that were made by God Himself. They were made so that until we get to the kingdom of heaven, we can have hope for heaven while we are being cultivated on this earth. Since we are chosen as God's children and are loved by Him, what kind of love is the love that we have to have? We should not have perishing and meaningless love that changes according to our benefit, but true and eternal love. Therefore, as you listen to these messages of spiritual love, I hope that you will first realize what true love is and also accomplish it in your heart. I hope that you will share your true love with God the Father, not only in the kingdom of heaven, but also even while you are here on this earth, day by day, until you get to the heavenly kingdom. May you become the instrument of the Holy Spirit and lead many souls to salvation by living a life of love toward your neighbors. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. All the main members, male members, I didn't say that you have to cook for your wife. I didn't use the testimony to ask you to cook for your wife. Okay? Don't misunderstand. There is a husband like that. Know the heart of the person. He knows the happiness to serve his wife. When you serve, when you're in a position to be served, and this is the true happiness, and that is not something that you can buy with money. That's why I use that testimony. I'm not using the testimony to ask you to cook for your wife. Well, if you can cook for your wife, it's good. But the wives here, don't complain your husband that your husband does not cook for you, okay? Let's think over the message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for your grace and love. Father, let us know what the true love is. God is the only love. And we came to know what the true love is, what true spiritual love is. Even though we say we know love, we didn't know what true love is, sacrificing our own love. Let us have the spiritual love that sacrifices ourselves. Let the husband love his wife as if it's his body. Let them serve each other. Let the brothers and sisters love each other. Father, let us have the true spiritual love. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I will pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on the sick part of your body or infirmities of your body and receive this prayer for your desire. Hallelujah, Father, please lay your hands on them. Give them power, 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 from head to toe, from every intestines and organs. Burn every disease by the fire of the Holy Spirit with the most high power of creation. Give them strength, physical strength, Father. Father, please bless them. Please work on them, transcending space and time. Bless all the brothers and sisters of the branch churches all over the world. And brothers and sisters who attend this service, brothers and sisters who attend this service through internet, satellite, and GCN TV viewers, please work on them from head to toe, in every intestines, organs, burn every disease by the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power creation. be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come, receive the physical strength in their body. Father, please, let them be healthy. Let all have spiritual love. Father, please bless them. For this week, next week, please protect them. Let everything be prosperous, Father. Father, in year 2007, let all family escape from poverty. All the sick would be healed. Please bless them. Let all families be evangelized, Father. Thank you, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus.